Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And you thought America abolish slavery. This is Wretched Radio. It appears coronavirus has revealed slavery is alive and well on full display these days. What are we seeing not only in the US of A, but in pretty much every country around the globe? Absolute terror. Over what? Not just getting sick. None of us clicks our heels loving that idea, but it is a fear of death. And contrary to some anti-wrong theologians, the Bible explains what is going on as we see a world that appears to be freaking out at the thought of getting sick and dying. To be clear, Christians aren't sitting around a campfire, hoping today is the day that God takes my life. No, I think that we have a desire to live. That is appropriate. That is right. But we Christians do not have the shakes the way the world does. And the Bible explains it. What do you know? There's a shocker. This would be your Hebrews chapter 2. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he deliver those who have lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Whoomp. There it is. Among other things, what are we seeing these days, courtesy of coronavirus? It is this fear of death that is causing people to do anything that it takes and will get angry at anybody that they believe could be jeopardizing their health to act in a way that demonstrates the Bible is true again. Am I suggesting you should walk right in front of a stranger who's about ready to rip a sneeze into the air? No, I'm not. But what we are seeing from people has a worldview behind it. This is always, 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 always the case. Nobody says nothing without a worldview behind it. Nobody demonstrates that they are somehow Teflon'd from any influences when they make some sort of statement on morality or truth or values or reality. It always has a worldview behind it. And this is no exception to that rule. We are seeing a world that is scared to die. And frankly, I can't blame them. They should be afraid of death because they are going to face their maker. They will be giving an account and they will have to deal with the one who sees and knows all things, who is three times holy, who is going to pour out his wrath on those who refuse to repent, to practice evil deeds and live for themselves. There will be trouble and calamity on that day, and they know it. And so they are scared to die, to meet their maker. Now, does that cause them to drop to their knees in repentance and faith? I suspect it's happening with some. There are people who are starting to go, I need to think this through. Case in point, it does appear that Bible sales are up. That's something. Bible sales are soaring according to different people like Tyndale, according to Lifeway. They're way up in their statistics. One of the Christian publishers, 143% up. That's high. That's a lot. That's good. Lifeway, 62% last week compared to the previous year. Tyndale, the Life Application Study Bible, up 44% compared to last year. Might I make a suggestion? If you are now spending more time in your Bible, good. Might I suggest you step it up from a life application study Bible? I've got one. I've read all of the footnotes in it. There's a few helpful things. Might I suggest you would do better? Get yourself a MacArthur Study Bible. I would encourage you to do that and get whatever translation you prefer. If you don't know which one you prefer, don't ask somebody what they like. Figure out what you like. You can do that. Go to Bible Gateway. Read an ESV, an NASB, an NKJV, if you would like, and see which one just, you know what, that one kind of, that works for, I like that one better, and get that one. Those are three decent translations that are more formal equivalents, and figure out what you like. Get a MacArthur Study Bible, and here's the challenge. Double dog dare you, as long as you got some free time, and hey, don't we all these days, read the entire New Testament. One book at a time, any order, at your own pace, but read every single footnote as you go. By the time you're done, maybe we'll be allowed to leave our homes, and you'll know more than most pastors in this country, and I'm not kidding. There's a promise, money-back guarantee from somewhere. The government will pay you back, because that seems to be the path that we're on these days, so don't worry about a thing. The government's got us, apparently. Get yourself a MacArthur Study Bible. You will be glad that you did. Many people, they are seeking to find some solace. And as long as we're doing shouts out, shout outs, shouts out.
Shouts out. Shout
as long
outs.
As we're doing some plugs.
Half a dozen of one.
Bible League International. There's people, brothers and sisters overseas. They don't have a Bible to turn to. Imagine that. They're scared. They're trying to figure out what's going on. They'd like to read the Psalms. They can't. They don't have a Bible. Bible League International, they didn't unhitch the Old Testament. They're printing up Bibles like madmen and women to distribute them to believers. $5 a Bible. Bible League International, please, if you can, send Bibles to your brothers and sisters overseas. Wretched.org/Bible. That's easy. Wretched.org/Bible. Another sign that the world, they're a little bit scared of what's going on. Is this an opportunity for us to, I don't know, step into that gap? John Lennox, if you're not familiar with him, he is a mathematician and philosopher of science. Apparently wrote a book about coronavirus responses in like 5 days. Stating he worked 12-hour days. Yeah, some of us do that, and it still takes us months to write a book. Nevertheless, he's calling COVID-19 a huge loudspeaker, rousing humanity to seek God amid pain. Well, nobody seeks after God. God seeks after us. Nevertheless, is this a huge loudspeaker? Not to be a Debbie Downer, but it's not a loudspeaker that God is using. Seriously. I mean, coronavirus, tens of thousands of people around the globe have died. That is no small thing. That is not a trifle. But that's not a loudspeaker. Thousands of people dying when there's billions of people on the planet. If God were going to shout and raise his voice, the earth would tremble. The universe would split. Is this something that is getting people's attention? Yeah. Yeah, it is. But it's not a loudspeaker. It's going to be brutal on the day of judgment when he burns up the place. That, to me, is a loudspeaker. Not everybody's attention is gotten. As predicted, don't have to be a futurist and certainly don't have to be a prophet, because there is no such thing. You know, this was just entirely predictable. Vice Baby from Breaking News. The pandemic is encouraging people to give in to baser temptations. No!
People?
Filling their time with sin, pornography. I'm shocked. As if, just in case you thought it couldn't go any higher, that people couldn't consume any more smut. Alcohol consumption way up. Tobacco, weed, chocolate consumption is rising. Now, how did chocolate get put on the vice list? I think that I resent that listing right there. I'll tell you, have you had those peanut M&Ms? It's the jumbo-sized peanuts in the M&Ms. Oh, oh, ah! Just telling you.
I like my peanuts buttered.
That's something. Oh, the comfort that brings. And people are consuming things to fill up their time, and it is not by using the Bible. It is something to bring them comfort. Why? Because they have a fear of death. They are scared on the inside. And what's the term that people use? We're masking your comfort. You know, when you do something, you fill up the hole in your heart through things, whatever the psychological term is. That's what people are doing. They've got free time. They're scared of dying. And they're filling it up with things that they think bring them comfort. It doesn't. Only one thing. I would simply challenge you to this. This is a season of unprecedented opportunity, I would say at least in the last decade, maybe since 9/11, at least in America. What could you do to preach the gospel to a frightened world? Could you figure that out and get on it somehow? They clearly need it. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend your time with us. Wowzers, it seems like we just started Lent with Ash Wednesday, and now it's already Monday, Thursday. Good Friday tomorrow, and then Easter Sunday. Even with the social distancing and the stay-at-home orders, it is still a season of celebration for the Christian church. So might I bring up The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. It is our newest evangelistic booklet, and it is the perfect tool for sharing with those who aren't believers. I mean, the world inundates us with Jesus was, well, he was a good man, a fine teacher, maybe even a prophet, but no more than that. But we Christians know there's a whole lot more to that. And this new booklet will explain from the Bible profoundly and undeniably that Jesus Christ is no mere mortal, but is in fact God in the flesh. To get your copy or copies, go to wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is Wretched's latest evangelistic resource, perfect for sharing with those who don't understand who Jesus is.
People love to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Phil Johnson, what would be one proof that Jesus Christ is God?
The calendar is based on it.
That's a pretty big proof, but we have compiled 21 more proofs Jesus is God in a booklet titled The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know somebody who needs to know Jesus. Get your copies. Terrific evangelistic booklet. Wretched.org/22.
The Man Who Split Time is a must read for every skeptic. So we challenge you. Get it. Read it. Then give it away. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copy at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com.
Attributes of God. Can God make a rock so big he cannot lift it? God is all-powerful. He created the universe and everything in it, and nothing can thwart his will. So the question of the rock is nonsensical. It does not expose a problem with God, but with the thinking of the one asking the question, and they will one day have to answer to the omnipotent God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It was the great theologian Hulk Hogan. Hold the phone, Henrietta. That can't pop. Look at that. This is Wretched Radio. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Found himself in the news by quoting, not really quoting rightly, but nevertheless, quoting the Bible, calling the world to turn their attention to Jesus. Gotta like that part of it. Hulk Hogan, how old is the Hulkster? He's gotta be pushing 70.
Old Terry?
Terry, that's exactly right. You knew that it was Terry. Do you know his last name?
Bollea.
Because I've got the article.
66.
Terry Gene Bollea, 66 years old. Could probably still snap me like a pencil. He's getting some slack because he tweeted or sent out whatever it is that the wrestlers use to get the information out there, calling this what we are seeing with coronavirus similar to the plagues of Egypt. Well, not so sure they're like the plagues of Egypt. Why? Because Moses had a message with the plagues that was very, very clear to a particular person. Let my people go. God told Moses, this is the message to that man. And if he does not, then this will happen. And it did. So that makes it a little bit more unique. That is not to suggest coronavirus does not have a message. It is just not as specific as the plagues were in Egypt, which, don't forget, all the plagues represented an idol. There were each one of the plagues demonstrated that all of the idols that the Egyptians were worshiping, that they were relying on, trusting, soothing themselves with, God was tearing them down one plague at a time, showing that he is the true and living God. This is the tweet, whatever it was, from Terry Gene. Do you think he got beat up before he became Hulk Hogan because his name was Terry Gene?
Might be a causal relationship.
In 3 short months, he said, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. That's actually pretty good right there. It's subtle things that we worship. Health, security, freedom. Some of us still like that. Apparently, the youth not so much. Don't really concern themselves with the idea of liberty. Some of us like it. Don't you? Have you learned how much you like going to work by not getting to go to work? It's a good thing, work. Now, granted, it can be filled with sin and thorns and thistles. But nevertheless, have you learned that? It's like, getting up and going someplace and putting your hand to something and accomplishing something, that feels good. That's all gone. Perhaps it was an idol for many, and it is indeed. Many people elevate work, a good thing that we are supposed to be doing because it is what God is doing, to idolship level. And it can't be, because it can't deliver, because idols will always break the hearts of their worshipers. And God wants us working. He just doesn't want us worshiping work. He wants us worshiping him as we work. Maybe God's ripped that away from millions of people. The Hulkster said, you want to worship athletes? I'll shut down the stadiums. Where did he? You know what? If the Hulkster came up with this all by himself, he's no dummy, this guy. And I suspect he isn't. I don't think many of these people who get to that level are necessarily dum-dums. That's pretty smart stuff. He's done that, hasn't he? The Lord's taken away a whole lot of idols from a lot of people. I'm sorry. I'm not one of them. Because the Masters Golf Tournament isn't going to be happening this year. It hasn't taken one away from me. It's going to be mine. I know. What about fall football? What will happen, especially to the South? Man, It has been said by more than Hulk Hogan, college football in the South, you talk about idolatry.
It's a religion.
It is a religion to many. And people who have been born again 16, 17 times down South, let me tell you something. They have clung to their university alma mater. Whatever their football team is, man, you cannot separate them from that. It is huge in the South. And if you're not below the Mason-Dixon line and you haven't spent time here, I didn't appreciate this till I got here. I knew it. I'd been told football's a big deal. Almost every casual conversation, it's not about the weather in the fall. It's about football. Grown men wearing a youngster's name on their back with their number. Are you kidding me? People paint their cars. It's to give you an idea.
Flags in the yard.
Flags off the window. You know, they've got those things, you hang them out the window and what have you. Or they've got the mascot on the front where they put it on the bumper. It's like the entire South is Green Bay, Wisconsin. You getting the picture here? It's just football gaga here. And God went, whoop. How you feeling now about your idol? We'll see what happens in the fall. You want to worship musicians, said the Hulk? I'll shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I'll shut down theaters and all movie production. I know right now Netflix and Amazon Prime, they are probably putting everything out there they possibly can to consume, to provide stuff for people to consume. It's going to run out at some point. There's going to be some lag.
But they have the same problem too.
Industry that will not be touched.
They can't produce anything.
Nothing.
I mean, nothing's going on. They can't produce anything new.
All right, gentlemen, name an industry that big, small, in between. Just any industry will do.
Alcohol.
Alcohol. All right. If they're not able to consume to produce alcohol, it's going to go up. Or will, you know what? I take that back.
It's already gone up.
I take that back. There will be some industries that thrive, yep, because there's going to be more alcoholics, to use an unbiblical phrase, when this is done. So alcohol will probably go up. It will bounce back down to a degree, but it'll still be higher than the level before coronavirus. Okay, so there, we just learned something, I
there
think. Vices will continue to go up. Real estate, people can't go look at houses. It has come to almost a complete standstill. Auto manufacturing, who's wanting to buy a car right now? Unless you have to. Who's trying to buy clothing right now when you don't know if you're going to have a job to go back to? You name the industry and it is feeling this and people are affected by this. The unemployed. Joey, when you look up the unemployment numbers, I think they were released just very, very, very within hours recently. How many millions of people are going to be out of a job right now that will not be going back to their employment? There is going to be pain for so long. And there's the church. Here's a question for you to consider. Most churches closed, if you will. Has our country felt a difference because of it? 340,000 Protestant outposts known as churches in this country. They are now shuttered temporarily. Has America felt that pinch? I don't think it has at all. Isn't that a wake-up call that the churches in this country have so little influence? I'm not talking about all of them. I'm not talking about good Bible-based churches that are feeding the sheep, that are ministering even to their neighborhoods. That's being felt. But on a national level, that those are the exceptions, not the rule. If there was another industry, if you will, that had 340,000 franchises and they shut down, that would be monster. Chick-fil-A. You can't even go in Chick-fil-A and people are like, I can't get fast food. There's more churches than fast food restaurants in this country. Did you know that? By a lot. There are more churches in this country than schools. By a lot. And everybody's feeling those two industries being shut down. You hear anybody going, what are we going to do without the churches? Churches are closed down. What are we going to do? That, to me, is a statement on the potential lack of potency of churches in our country. Joey, how many people out of work?
There were 6.6 million new claims this week. So it's up to 13%.
Oh, and some people are talking like 30-some percent by the time it's all done. That's real. That's actual. And those people's lives are being slammed by this. We've got to be asking ourselves the questions as the church. What could we be doing? How do we use this? What does this mean? This has to have some sort of implication for us if we're watchmen that are just waiting on the post to just jump in and figure this thing out and do something. Are we doing it? Many Christians are. If you're not one of them, I would again plead with you, just look around. You're in a different zip code than me, different skills, different giftings, different opportunities. See the need and fill it, if you can, with necessities, but definitely with the primary need, which is the gospel. Otherwise, the Hulk might come after you. Is that still a threat? This
not as
is
much.
Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Government restrictions on churches meeting in person during the COVID-19 pandemic would likely be upheld in court as long as they are temporary and don't target religion, said an attorney for the Alliance Defending Freedom. Ryan Tucker, senior counsel with ADF, said that states certainly have the obligation, or the authority at least, to protect the health and safety of their citizens. ADF has received numerous phone calls in recent weeks from pastors and church officials asking if the government can close houses of worship. We have to analyze each of those orders and look to see, is the church itself being targeted? Are these temporary restrictions, and are these being evenly applied? Tucker said if the order is temporary, the closures being evenly applied, then most often those restrictions, if challenged in court, will be upheld, at least during a national pandemic. The power to close churches, he emphasized, is not unlimited. The shorter the restriction, he said, the more likely it will withstand any challenge in court. Meantime, this week, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled Texas can continue to legally implement its near-total ban on abortion services amid the coronavirus outbreak. According to CBS News, for more than 2 weeks, abortion services have been unavailable in Texas. Texas Attorney General Paxton endorsed the decision, saying any abortion not medically necessary to preserve the life or health of the patient must be halted as part of the state's directive suspending non-essential medical procedures amid the coronavirus pandemic. Despite the Supreme Court's precedent on abortion protection, the ban was ruled as constitutional by two federal judges, Kyle Duncan and Jennifer Walker Elrod. The lone dissent came from Judge Kyle Dennis. Texas is one of 5 states facing legal battles over abortion restrictions put in place in an effort to reduce the spread of COVID-19 and to save personal protection equipment for healthcare professionals battling the deadly virus. Similar bans in Alabama, Iowa, Ohio, and Oklahoma were challenged by a coalition of abortion rights groups as legal filings were made last week. Presently, bans in Alabama, Oklahoma, and Ohio have been at least partially lifted by court order. And in Nigeria, people displaced by Muslim Fulani herdsmen attacks in Kaduna State that killed 60 Christians in March are in dire need of relief aid, says a community leader, Luca Beniet. He said, we have a chronicle of the humongous losses suffered by these law-abiding Christians at the hands of herdsmen trying to forcefully eject them and occupy their lands while the government watches on. Beniet said the attacks have forced women, children, and the elderly to run into the wilderness to escape rampaging herdsmen, adding to the thousands already displaced by previous violence. Nigeria ranks 12th on Open Doors 2020 World Watch list of countries where Christians suffer the worst persecution, but is second in the number of Christians killed for their faith behind Pakistan.
praying for our brothers and sisters. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Important dates in Christian history. 1678. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress is published. Written while Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel, this allegorical tale of the Christian life becomes second in international circulation, exceeded only by the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wow. What are we going to do when we can't say, is the Pope Catholic anymore? This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you caught this one, courtesy of MSN. The Pope stating the coronavirus pandemic could be nature's response to climate crisis. What? That's how pagans talk when they're being honest. I actually heard an unbeliever utter that. You know, Mother Nature has a way of speaking back to us. Overpopulation, global warming. This is Mother Nature saying, knock it off. I'm going to take out a lot of you people so that I can continue to thrive. Now, I would ask the unbeliever, where exactly Mother Nature resides? When does Mother Nature make this decision? How does Mother Nature go about the business of implementing her response to her assaults? They have no answer to any of those things. It's just an unbeliever's way of trying to figure out what is going on this planet. Now, I would expect that from an unbeliever. Truly, we are not seeing the unbelievers respond the way that they're supposed to. We're not. They should be rejoicing that people are, especially old people. That's the majority of folks, especially people who have underlying issues. In other words, the less than fit. This should be a celebration going on. Yay! We're thinning the herd! Should be the acclamation of the pagan, but it's not. Once again, we see an inconsistency in worldview. Thankfully, the unbelievers care. That is a common grace of God on display. If you thought that the common grace of God was gone in its entirety, it certainly is not. This could be a lot worse in our post-Christian world. Pornography is still done on screens, mostly behind closed doors or shielded from people. If God's common grace were gone, that would just be done on the streets in full public display without any discretion at all. There would be no curbing of sinful behavior. It would be complete pandemonium. Governments would be gone. Now, I know there's something that sounds good about that, but remember, a bad government is better than no government at all. If you don't have a government that is restraining evil in some way, shape, or form, let me tell you something. You are living in a scary world, but God continues to allow governments to be in place to curb the behavior of wicked people. Some nations more than others. Nevertheless, it's better than no government at all. God's common grace, it is alive and well. It's just perhaps not what it used to be. The fewer Christian people you have with an internal moral compass, the more you need external controls. And that's what we're seeing more and more. I just saw somebody sent pictures of police around the country that are enforcing the COVID quarantine laws. You need that. When people don't do what they're told because they're motivated internally, then you need an external stick. And you see that because there's less of an internal control. Nevertheless, God's common grace is still happening on this planet. Coronavirus, if God weren't being gracious to this world, it would take all of us out. Could. He could kill everybody but one if he wanted to, till Judgment Day. God could wipe out far more, but he's not. Common grace abounds. And one of the ways that we are seeing it is that the unbelievers aren't acting in any sort of consideration of their actual worldview. And we see that all the time. And as an aside, I am persuaded that is why we are seeing the depression and suicide rate amongst so many young people. This thing inside of them that They can't articulate. They probably have never pondered, but they know something's wrong here. I keep being told there's no absolute values. And even that statement, they can't articulate, it causes them to go, if there's no absolute values, how do I know there's no absolute values? Because that statement is an absolute value statement. They don't maybe think about it on the surface, but it conflicts on the inside. And then they're told there's no absolute values, and yet they only get an 82 on their test. How did I get something wrong? If there's no truth, then how come I don't get 100 on everything? They don't articulate it, but they know something's kind of wonky here. They're told there's no absolute morality. We as cultures make those decisions. And yet they look at Nazi Germany and go, that culture kind of biffed it. They're told there's no absolute value. There's no absolute truth or morality. And yet when they go to Starbucks and the barista says that's $18 for your cup of coffee, they can't say my truth is $2. Here are 8 quarters. In fact, here's 7 dimes, but I believe that's actually $2. None of it is played out in reality. Can they articulate that? No. But is it causing them on the inside to go, it's just not working? It's like life is a Rubik's Cube. And the pieces not only aren't coming into color, you're not getting close to getting a color on one side, let alone all sides. The pieces, they're just chunking. You can't even move the thing around. It's like, All right, go ahead and work on a Rubik's Cube that doesn't, where you can't even turn the parts well. Where maybe you can't even turn the parts at all. Now sit in a corner and do that for 10 hours. You're going to go bonkers. Joey, you've got a Rubik's Cube there?
Yes.
Well, that's the strangest deal.
This is the strangest one. It's got different sizes and everything.
Okay, imagine you can't... Okay, you just started going flip, 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 flip. You can't even do the flip, flip, flip. It just doesn't ever even... This is futile! Bingo. That's the worldview that the kids are being asked to swallow. And it is causing them to go right to the end of that worldview, which is futility. Most would call it nihilism. Okay. And that's what we're seeing in this world. And coronavirus is revealing worldviews all over the place. And look at the open door that we Christians have to step in and say, could I help you with this? I can explain all of this to you. There's a reason that we're seeing what we're seeing. There's an explanation for this and everything else that is causing you confusion in this world. And so when the Pope says this is Mother Nature just responding to what's going on in our planet with coronavirus, I just want to go, what? That's the worldview of the pagan, not the Pope. He said, I'm translating this for you because I speak the language that he actually said this in. I'm not sure which language it was. We did not respond to the partial catastrophes. Who now speaks of the fires in Australia or remembers that 18 months ago a boat could cross the North Pole because the glaciers had all melted? Who speaks now of the floods? So God was trying to get the world. No, I'm sorry. Mother Nature was trying to get the world's attention and stop abusing her. But we didn't listen to Big Mom. So the Pope says, I don't know if these are the revenge of nature, but they are certainly nature's responses. That's just paganism. And I don't know why we're shocked. We've got the answers, Christians. We're in. You are in the club of reason. You have been brought into the family that can explain to the world and apparently to the Pope why things are happening the way that they are happening. This, I'm looking forward to this in the fall, September. We're going to try to hit the campuses. We're hoping that they're going to be open at that time to reach the kids with an explanation for what is going on. It's my hope, if everything goes as scheduled, I think on September 10th, going to be at Texas A&M. And we're going to be doing a bit of a symposium to talk about the issue of suicide and depression. Oh, wait, hold on. Wait a sec. Gotta share a text with you. Click, click, click. There go all of the dials. Don't you hate it when people do that? Well, I realize that, but this is going to be worth the payoff. I was texting with a friend who's smarter than I am. Todd, that doesn't take much. That would be all of your friends. And we were talking about what should we title this suicide thing? And he said, I think Albert Camus had a great quote from The Myth of Sisyphus. Of course he did. From Albert Camus. There is only one really serious philosophical question, and this is suicide. Wow. That's an interesting thought. Judging whether life is or is not worth living amounts to answering the fundamental question of philosophy. Now, you can argue what is the fundamental question of philosophy. I think that knocks on the door, at least. What's the point, is what he's saying. Why are we here? What are we doing? Is there anything transcendent? Is there anything to live for beyond that which is temporal? Is there anything that is eternal? All captured in that one question. Little too narrow in my estimation, but nevertheless, I do believe that even people who do not consider themselves to be philosophers are having to come to grips with that question. What's going on? Is life worth living? Some people are concluding, no, it's not. There have been people that are predicting, hey, get ready for the suicide rate to go up. Here we stand, Christian. We can explain why things are the way that they are. This is not nature responding. This is God's providence, God's sovereignty. Who are you going to share that with? This is Wretched Radio. Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Picture, if you will, a Saturday night. You're sitting at your computer and you decide to watch an edifying video, maybe John MacArthur. And the next thing you know, it's 3:00 in the morning and you are knee deep in YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up again. Oh, been there, done that. It's happened to all of us. Instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, visit the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. There are hundreds of hours of biblically based TV and radio programs and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. Wretched's hour-long radio program, posted every day, tackles tough issues Christians face today. So the next time you're wandering around the web watching giraffe and cat videos, why not head over to wretched.org, the home of all things wretched. Wretched.org.
If and you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible.
Galatians was written by Paul to the churches he planted in the region of Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, where a form of legalism was threatening the gospel. Paul insists that salvation is by grace through faith, and to rely on the law is to deny the gospel. In the gospel, God has once for all declared us righteous on the basis of Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's play You Be the Fauci. This is Wretched Radio. That's right. You are the Fauci. You are the man or the woman, although genders these days, whatever.
We're back.
You're
to
in charge. Notice. You're the one who is advising the president what should be done about coronavirus. Should we keep people quarantined through August? Should we start releasing them? How do you make a decision as the Fauci when this ends because of the consequences of the decisions to contain the virus? This is an outstanding opportunity for Christians to sharpen up our worldview. I will warn you in advance, this ain't easy. The distinction, it's not going to sound great, but I do believe the implications are. You're in the Oval Office. The president is asking you, well, how's it going? How are you doing in making decisions and giving input based on the number of people who are dying and the number of people who are being adversely affected because of our desire to keep people alive? That is what is confronting the Fauci. It certainly is confronting the people that are in charge. There's a debate going on. I'm not interested in this particular debate, at least not at this time. I'm interested in trying to figure out how we resolve the question, how do we make decisions about life and death and the effects of those decisions? Statistic. This is now, it's a prediction, but nevertheless, we know that millions of people have lost their jobs. This is from the Federalist. They are predicting 47 million people could be unemployed when this is done. That's real hurt. That's real suffering. That's real pain. But it's not death. Predicting maybe 31% of all Americans could be unemployed. 31% unemployment rate. Whoa. Furthermore, domestic violence, it is up. It's undeniable. Seattle police reported a 21% increase in domestic abuse reports because people are staying home together. So the decision to keep people in place, quarantined, is resulting in domestic violence. How do you weigh the decisions to protect life and yet not cause a lot of harm in doing so? More statistics for your consideration. Charlotte, North Carolina, 17% increase due to the shelter-in-place restrictions. Domestic violence up 17%. New Mexico, Las Cruces, the police department reported a 9% increase for domestic violence-related calls. 21% increase in San Antonio, 33% in Salt Lake City. Especially against women. Don't forget, every single time you see a post-Christian culture, women always take it on the bad end of the stick, and so do children. The National Coalition Against Domestic Violence reports an average of 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner, or more than 10 million women and men per year. Now, those are the people that report it. We don't know the number of people who don't report it because you can't know a statistic you can't know, but it is almost certainly higher. The National Network to End Domestic Violence found that in relationships where abuse was already present, financial stress increased the severity and frequency of abuse. Three times more likely when you're facing a financial crisis. So tens of millions of people are going to be facing a financial crisis if they are not already, which is leading to more domestic abuse. That is one metric, one. Because of the decision to try to save lives, you are the Fauci. How do you make that decision? How do you give advice? When is the decision to save lives worse than the consequence? How do you figure that out? I'm not interested in the debate itself. I'm interested in figuring out how we figure it out. as a Christian, we have to look at the scenario, as challenging as it is, and say, well, there's got to be something different about us, isn't there? Because ultimately, you are going to be utilitarian, a pure utilitarian, if you don't import your Christian worldview. And there is something that I believe makes a difference. Now, it maybe isn't going to sound like a stark difference. It may not present itself as, oh, well, wow, it's like night and day. It's not entirely night and day, because there is a bit of statistics that need to be considered. But I would ask, how do you weigh the difference between deaths and abuse, deaths and unemployment, deaths and loss of fortune, deaths and inconvenience? You're the Fauci. How do you figure that out? Now, I don't know what his worldview is. I think he's Roman Catholic. I don't know anything more than that, because we don't get told more than that, which I think, by the way, is a tremendous error. And that's pragmatism, incidentally, when we simply put somebody in charge because they're smart, without understanding what motivates their thinking and how they process and filter through these things. This is a huge worldview conundrum, and it's not an easy one for Christians. You're the Fauci. You're asked now to suggest to the president, where's the off-ramp on this thing? Where do we make the decision? All right, people can be released from their stay in place to go back to work, even though we know some people might get sick from it and even die. How do you make that decision? Let's figure out how the unbeliever would do it first. The unbeliever would do it strictly by the numbers. That's all they've got. It does get difficult for them, because how do you weigh one death versus 10,000 people losing their jobs? Bill de Blasio demonstrated he is very utilitarian. He said, quote, of a paraphrase, which really isn't a quote at all, but basically he said, if just one life is saved from what we're doing, then it will have been worth it. My question to Bill de Blasio is, how do you do that math, sir? That is a worldview coming out. That is presuppositional thinking based on something. Where does he get that? How does 10 people get saved, 50,000 people can lose their job? The city of New York falls into the sea, but it saves one life. It was worth it. How does he do that? And the answer, in my opinion, is he can't, because there's no book that tells us, here's how you put these things on a scale. Let's go back now to you, Christian. You're the Fauci. How do you weigh it? Let's just use a number. Just because we've got to work through this somehow. I think as we speak in America, we're under 15,000 deaths right now. 15,000 deaths versus the stock market going to 10,000 points, 15,000, 20,000 points. How many trillions of dollars can be lost? How are you going to, do you weigh that? Do you have a book that tells you those numbers? You don't. There's no manual for this. How's about 15,000 deaths versus 50,000 domestic violence cases that can be directly attributed to people staying at home, being locked up together, that are beaten on each other? 50,000? 75,000 versus 15,000. How are you going to figure that out? This is not an easy thing to work through. And the reality of the situation is, even like the pagans, we are going to take a look at the numbers, but not the numbers alone, because we recognize there's no manual for this. So how does our thinking get guided? For instance, you're not the Fauci. Now you're the individual who determines what the speed limit is going to be on the freeway in your city. Here's what we know, and this is statistically reliable data. The speed limit currently is 55 miles an hour, but if you increase it to 65 miles an hour, people are going to die. And yet, governments make that decision. We pump it back up to 65. Why? Because it allows people to get to their destination sooner. It allows them to be happier. They spend more time with their families, and presumably they're more productive. So we make those decisions. Now, I don't see how the pagan can do that, because all they've got are statistics, and they just kind of have to weigh it nilly-willy. How do we figure that out, Christian? And I think the answer is found in Romans 5. It's also found in Genesis 3. There's our answer. The fall. The era that we're living in. paradise was lost. It's going to be regained because of the work of Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, we are in a cursed planet, and we want human flourishing. We don't want people to die, but we recognize they're going to. Do we make decisions then going, well, they were going to die anyway? No, we don't do that. We don't like death. We want to do things that protect people and that keep people healthy. And yet we make decisions recognizing we live in this era when people, they're going to die. And we do want human flourishing. And we weigh these things very carefully. Is there a perfect number? Even for the Christian, there is not. But I guarantee you, there will be a difference. Fauci would have to say, like Bill de Blasio, one death. We got to save one life. Because death is the worst thing that there is compared to all the bad in the world. Death is the worst. And as a Christian, we have to look at it and say, well, no, it's not ultimately. It's a part of the era that we live in. And it will change the way that we respond to it. It will bring us to different conclusions. When we remember the era we are living in, it is a cursed, groaning epoch where sadly we do die. We want human flourishing and we make decisions based on all those things. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.